Now, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're in a series out of 2 Timothy, and we're at the end of chapter 3. Pastor Mike, you did a great job last week. I listened to you on podcast this week. I intentionally, when I was laying this series out, I intentionally gave him the hard part because I wanted the last two verses of the chapter. I've never preached this chapter before without the last two verses. But I just spun off the first part of the chapter, gave it to him, told him several times, I'm sorry, it's tough to find the exegetical thread there, and blah, 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 all this stuff preachers talk about, to keep it simple. But you did great. Thank you. I want to come to a passage of Scripture that actually, when I used to be your pastor, full-time, years ago, more than once, more than twice, probably more than three times, this is such a foundational couple of verses that I know several times we visited this as a congregation. I am going to start with verse 14, which overlaps with where Pastor Mike ended, and it gives us the ramp up to the two critical verses that we'll be focusing on today, verses 16 and 17. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 14. Will you stand for the reading of God's word, if you would? But as for you, Paul speaking to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. We just do a time out there. Timothy had a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father. And his mother came to know Jesus when Paul came to his hometown of Lystra to preach the gospel. But because of her Jewish background, Timothy would have been exposed to the Old Testament, the Scriptures, from the time he was a young child. So this is what Paul's referring to. He said, you knew and learned from infancy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament points to the New Testament, which is a story of God's rescue mission through Jesus to reach every one of us. And the Scriptures lay the foundation for that. And then I promise you every week we'd put in a box a verse that I'd suggest you memorize if you haven't already, because these are kind of our marching orders as we're walking through 2 Timothy, and this is fantastic. This is a life builder right here. And so if you're following your message notes, you'll see the next two verses, 16 and 17, are in a box. Will you read them out loud with me, please? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think those are two stunning verses, and we can build our lives on this stuff. This is what churches are built on that change the world. This is what our lives are built on. So will you agree with me that we welcome the heart-shaping work of the Holy Spirit through His Word today in these next moments? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One of the greatest writers on prayer of a past generation was Andrew Murray, and he wrote this: prayer is like fire. Now here he would be praying, talking about prayer as life in the Spirit, not just prayer requests. Prayer is like fire, and the fire can only burn brightly if it is supplied with good fuel. Thanks to our children's pastor, Pastor Justin, who I called yesterday afternoon knowing he'd come through for me. I said, Justin, any way you'd have some firewood around? And he said, yes, Pastor. In fact, I'm standing right beside some right now. This was randomly at 2:30 in the afternoon yesterday. So I said, if you'd bring me one, I'd appreciate it. This is fuel. Fuel for fire. Andrew Murray says prayers or life in the Spirit is like fire. And fire can only burn brightly if it's supplied with good fuel. Can you imagine a flame without this log? I mean, just a flame hanging out there. That would be a virtual flame, not a real flame. That would be an optical illusion, nothing real. A flame needs fuel. He said that fuel For the life of the Spirit and the life of prayer, that fuel is God's Word, which must not only be studied carefully and prayerfully, but must be taken into the heart and lived out in the life. It must not only be studied carefully and prayerfully, but taken into the heart and lived out in the life. And the reason is simply this. This is a proposition that I finally settled in my heart many, many years ago as I studied God's Word and I watched how God worked. And it's simply this, that God's Word, that God's Spirit and His Word always work together. God's Spirit is to God's Word as flame is to fuel. Wherever you see God's Word, you're going to find the activity of His Holy Spirit. And probably, if we were only to emphasize the activity of the Holy Spirit and detach from His Word, we would be detached. And we'd start drifting, and we'd end up shallow and probably crazy. But I want to tell you, there's two things that always stay rooted in our lives. It's God's Word and His Spirit. God's Word, God's Spirit, and His Word always work together. And so God's Word's like fuel to the flame. Every one of us, the Bible often pictures God's Spirit as a flame. And there's a fire of God that He wants to be burning brightly in your life. Burning hot. Hot with zeal for Him. Hot with passion to give away all you can that other people can find Christ. Hot with love for Him. Hot with a broken heart. A fire that just fulfills your heart to the deepest core. That just causes you to realize, I was born for this. I was born to live in the Spirit. I was born to have Jesus alive in my heart. I was born to be full of the Holy Spirit and fire. But that fire grows cold in some of us. And it needs to be refueled with the Word of God. And I've just found that the more of His Word in your life, the more of His Spirit. Like when I was 26 years old, I met a guy who used to minister to children, and he really affected my life when I was 6, 7, 8 years old. Hadn't seen him for many years. I was 26, ran into him. He was still doing the same thing. He was like a traveling children's pastor, just traveling all around ministering to children. He'd do these services. He'd have puppets. He'd do chalk drawings. We'd sing kids' songs. I remember being in many of his meetings. I met him when I was 26 years old. I just finished my engineering degrees and kind of caught up with him. Found out he's still doing the same thing, still ministering to children. But he said, Jim, he said, I got to tell you about something. He said, a few years ago, I learned how to speed read. And I bought a speed reader's Bible. I go, now there's something like very wrong with that picture. I mean, I was always taught like slowly is holy, right? When it comes to God's Word, I mean, speed reading is irreverent. I couldn't figure this out. Even though speed readers remember more than us plotters do. I'm personally not a speed reader. He said, I taught myself how to speed read. He showed me a speed reader Bible. Now, my Bible, like most Bibles I've had, has two columns on every page, you see. But his had only one column down the middle. Every line was both right and left justified and a fairly wide white margin on each side. So the speed reader could kind of catch the middle of every line as it goes down. And speed reader's Bible. And then he said to me, he said, I read 35 or 40 chapters every day. Speed read them. I mean, 35 or 40 chapters a day. That's reading through the entire Bible every month, not the entire Bible once a year. That's once a month, the entire Bible. And then what he said to me next, I'll never forget. He said, Jim, I still hold services for children and try to bring them to Christ. I still use the same puppets. I use the same chalk drawings. I use the same kids' songs. I don't do a thing differently. But over the last 3 years, since I have been getting quantities of God's Word into my life, God has been moving like I've never seen before. I mean, more kids are finding Christ. More miracles are happening, even though in terms of ministry technique, I'm not doing a thing different. And I'll never forget that conversation because it's so absolutely true. God's Word and His Spirit work together. And in fact, you fill your life full of God's Word. You're putting good, dry kindling in there that the Spirit of God can combust and do things you can't account for. I just believe this. I just believe it. And Paul actually hints at this. In fact, he states that the connection between his Word and his Spirit when he said, all Scripture is inspired or God-breathed. That's how he starts those last two verses. All Scripture, God's Word, the Bible. Bible, the word Bible comes from originally a Greek word, just means books. It's a compilation of 66 books. All God's Word, Scripture, is God-breathed. Or I like to think of the English word. Sometimes it's translated, all Scripture is inspired by God. Inspired. That's I-N, in, and then S-P-I-R. It's very similar to the word Spirit. That's my simple-minded way of constantly reminding myself God's Word and His Spirit are always linked. God's Word is infused with His Spirit. He moved upon men, and He moved upon people to write God's Word. 40 different authors, over 1,600 years in three different languages, and this book is consistent cover to cover. It's a miraculous book because it's not, you know, people used to say to me, like when I was a college student in the 60s, in the 70s, you know, they used to say, well, someone on drugs wrote the Bible. I want to tell you, they've never cracked the book if they believe that. Listen, this is a God-breathed book. His Spirit is part and parcel of what He has spoken and said. His Spirit and His Word always work together. It's inspired by God. And then he tells us that it's good for four things. He uses four interesting verbs right here. All Scripture, verse 16, is inspired by God and is useful for, first of all, teaching. And that's what we need to believe, teaching. In fact, the word he uses in Greek for teaching, we kind of relate it to our word for doctrine. I know I've been around a lot, and people say doctrine's boring. We want experience. But I'll tell you, I've seen some people with experience and no doctrine, and it's not a pretty sight. In fact, in my platform, working with the National Assemblies of God, I often talk to preachers, and it's one of my hobby horses. I go, you pastors, they don't need a lot of sentimental stories. They don't need you just yelling and screaming for half an hour. They don't need you reading a verse at the beginning as an excuse for whatever you want to say for the next half hour and never refer to the text again. Listen, we need the text of the Word of God. I want to tell you, biblical illiteracy is rampant, not only in America, but right in His church. We need to know what the Scripture says. And I want to tell you, it's not boring doctrine. I mean, it's life or death. What you believe has incredible consequences. And we need to know what we believe and why and what God's Word says. So there it is. It's useful, he says, for teaching. I mean, this is our tool for teaching. It's the Word of God. And for rebuking. Isn't that a lovely word? That's a get-in-your-face word. I want to tell you, if God's Word hasn't made you uncomfortable about some things in your lifestyle, you've probably never read it very carefully. There's days Jesus blesses me, and I have to say there's days Jesus bothers me when His Word exposes all that stuff I'm ashamed of inside. And you know what? There's sometimes, and rebuking is what we need to stop doing. You know the old cliche, don't just read the Bible, let the Bible read you. And there's times where we need the Bible. We need God to get in our face and say, you're doing some very destructive things that are distancing God's Spirit from your life and hurting your relationships and destroying you. And thank God that His Word is not negative all the time, but thank God it has some thou shalt nots in it. Like you need to stop doing some things you're doing. And then, it's not only teaching and correcting what we need to believe and what we need to stop doing, but correcting is what we need to start doing. If teaching is what we need to believe and correcting is what we need to, rebuking is what we need to stop doing, correcting is what we need to start doing. In fact, the word, Paul uses here in the Greek, it kind of means something's toppled over and you set it upright again. It's kind of taking crooked ways and making them straight again. It's like here's what we ought to do. Because thank God, some people give the Bible, Rabbi, it's just a bunch of negatives. It's just a bunch of things that constrict me. No, the Bible is much, much more. It'll get in our face and rebuke us, but it'll also help us get things standing up straight in our lives again. It'll tell you how to stand up straight in your marriage again. It'll tell you how to stand up straight at work again. It'll tell you how to stand up straight when it comes to your happiness and your fulfillment and when it comes to your potential. It'll tell you how to stand up straight when it comes to being God's person wherever you are. This is what the Word of God does. And lastly, he uses the word training, the verb training. Teaching what we need to know, rebuking what we need to stop doing, correcting what we need to start doing, and then training in righteousness. That's what we need to become. Because training is a mentoring word. This word in the Greek could be used to describe, and was used to describe, bringing up children, nurturing children. It's kind of what forms us, what shapes us, what nurtures us, what mentors us. I mean, there's believing the right things, there's not doing some things, there's indeed doing other things, but what's really our coach and our mentor? What's the mold that's shaping us? It's God's Word. It's God's Word. And he says God's Word is useful for training, rebuking, correct, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training and mentoring us. What we need to believe, what we need to stop doing, what we need to start doing, and what we need to become. I mean, that is pretty much every base I can think of in our lives that the Word of God. And no wonder he says, so it makes us useful so that the next verse, verse 17, the man of God or the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it's the fuel that keeps the fire of God's Spirit burning hot in your life. And it's everything you need to help you reach your potential. This week, I don't know where you're going to be Tuesday night or Thursday morning or Friday afternoon, but wherever you are, you're going to be God's person. You're going to be his representative right there. There may be nobody else representing Jesus where you'll be this Tuesday night or Thursday morning or Friday afternoon, but it's going to be you. And you've got unbelievable potential because you're full of the Holy Spirit. I hope you're full of the Holy Spirit. You're hungry for God and you're available to him. And his word, as you keep building your life over and over in the Word of God, his word is what's going to equip you for every good work. You're going to be ready to be God's person wherever you are. So this is stunning. This is it all. This is why I didn't want Pastor Mike to preach on this. I wanted to preach on this. This is it all. Building our lives on the Word of God. Now, 3 weeks ago, we were in chapter 2, where Paul told Timothy to work hard at being a servant who handles the Word of God correctly. Of course, he's a pastor, right? But we saw how, for us, that meant that there's something powerful that happens when we go past just letting other people feed us spiritually, and we start allowing, and we start feeding ourselves spiritually as well. So I talked to you about what my dad used to do. Remember that? Take an 8.5 sheet of paper, turn it sideways, draw 2 lines for 3 columns. The top of one column, you write, what does it say? This is to do Bible study. The top of the second column, what does it mean? The top of the third column, what do I do? That's observation, interpretation, application. We call that inductive Bible study. All of us need to be studying God's Word. This is part of how we especially engage the what we ought to believe, what we need to stop doing, start doing, what we become. This is studying God's Word. And, you know, I've had some of you come to me and say, since 3 weeks ago I started doing this, and you're surprised how much of a difference it's made. That's exactly what happened in my dad's life. It catalyzed a whole spiritual revolution in his life in his mid-40s, even though he loved Jesus, served Jesus, because it's amazing. And I've had, like I had someone come to me and say, just last week, I started doing this. And it's amazing, just taking out your pen and paper and just doing it. And I used to read, and I go, I don't know if I totally understand that chapter and things. But it's amazing. You start, you know, in the first column, just kind of writing out, summarizing what it says, what it just says. And then, what do I mean? Like, what do I think the author was trying to say here? I mean, what was it he was trying to say? And she said, I'm surprised how much I'm starting to understand the Word of God. Like, I didn't think I could. And then what do I do as a result? And so that's an incredible thing, especially for these four verbs to work in our lives. The Word of God to teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us. But I want to just, as we kind of bring this to focus for today, and there's going to be a very specific response in terms of prayer for our church that I'm going to link this to, but let me talk about a little more devotional way. Like, you may do that every day, like my dad did, or you may do it, you know, pulling out the pencil and paper a few times a week or something, but there are times when we just want to take in God's Word, and it's just for the sake of it being fuel for the Spirit's fire in us. And this would be a little bit more less studying and more just devotional way of absorbing God's Word. And I want to start with the obvious. It's just reading God's Word. Let's, like my friend, I'm not asking you to speed read. I haven't actually followed his example either. But let's just get quantities, maybe at a new level, just quantities of God's Word into us. May not be actual Bible study, but just reading chapter. I personally, I exercise, you know, not every day. I don't go to the Y every day. I go to the Y on a good week 4 times, on a semi-good week 3 times, on a week 2 times. But I try good 3 to 4 times a week. I'll go work out at the Y. So same with this longer Bible reading. 3 or 4 times a week, I'll try to take like 30 to 45 minutes just to read Scripture. Sometimes I'll change the version because I just want to keep it fresh. I just want to keep, you know, maybe see the same thing but a little different wording from version to version and whatever it takes. But I have a bit of a pattern. I read 2 chapters out of Old Testament history, and then I'll read 2 pages out of the Psalms, which is anywhere usually from 3 to 5 Psalms. And then I'll read 1 chapter out of Proverbs, the wisdom literature. There's 30 chapters. You can get through that in a month. So today is what, the 5th of March. So I'd read Proverbs 5 for the 5th of March, get through it in a month. And then I'll go to the New Testament. I'll read 1 chapter out of the life of Jesus, out of the Gospels, because I keep wanting to watch Jesus really closely. And then I'll read 1 chapter out of the book of Acts, which is a story of how Jesus is building his church. I'm rather interested in that topic as well. And then I'll read 2 chapters out of the rest of the New Testament, which are mainly letters. So right now, the last time I read, it was Romans 9 and 10. So tomorrow I'll be picking up at chapter 11 and 12, and just until I get through the end of the New Testament. And I'll do that. That's reading God's Word. That usually takes me 45 minutes or half hour, usually, maybe 45 minutes if I'm reading really slowly. I still think slowly is holy personally, but so I just am really holy some days. I'm just plodding along and my mind wanders. Sometimes I go read a chapter again because I go, you know what? I read that whole chapter and I was thinking about something else. Have you ever done that? I do that. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I do that. So I go back and read the chapter again. So it depends on, you know. But then, as I'm reading all these chapters, I'm looking for one verse that I'm going to go back to meditate on. Because I want to encourage you not only to read God's Word, but to meditate on God's Word. That's not a spooky word. You don't blank your mind and think about a doorknob, you know. I mean, meditation, scriptural, is a very scriptural concept. It has to do with repetition. And you got to take repetition in a bite-sized chunk, right? Take it down to like one verse. Usually I just, and you know, I don't put pressure on myself every day that it's got to jump out of the page at me, but sometimes it does. Sometimes, who knows where I am? I may be in the Old Testament, maybe in the New Testament, and one verse, I'm partway through a chapter, and it'll just right out of the page at me. Have you had that experience? Yeah, I have too. That's fun. That's when it's easy. But don't put that expectation on you. That just doesn't happen every day. At least it doesn't happen to me every day. But at least one verse will mildly interest me in ways most other verses don't, or at least get my curiosity. So I go with my radar up as I'm reading all these chapters. I have my radar antenna up, like, what one verse am I going to go back to meditate on when all this is done? And when I go back and meditate, I'll give like 3 to 5 minutes, and I'll just read that verse over and over. Usually it's a short verse, and then I'll pray. I'll close my eyes and say, oh God, would you just get the spiritual. It's like I'm taking a bite-sized chunk and chewing it. I would say, God, would you just get the spiritual nutrition of this verse into my spiritual bloodstream. And you just give God time. I mean, how little we do that. Just time to talk to us. And I want to tell you one of the great ways in which, remember we said God's Spirit and His Word always work together? When God's Spirit speaks to us through His Word. And this is one way I think we develop our sensitivity, our ear for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because God will always be speaking to us by His Holy Spirit through the Word. And I'll just give time, and I'll close my eyes and say, God, get this into me. Sometimes by this point, I can close my eyes and sort of quote it, because, you know, 3-5 minutes, you can memorize a short verse pretty easily. And I'll do that and just say, God, get this into me. And sometimes I'll give it 3 or 4 minutes, and then I'll just say, I think I've got that one down. I think I got that verse down. And then I'll just say, no, I'm just going to give it a couple, 3 more minutes. And I'll read it again, and I'll pray through it again, and I'll ask the Lord, and I'll think about, Lord, what does this mean for me right now? And get this into my spirit. And sometimes I'll read a verse and read a verse. It's just like I can't get enough of it. Just read a verse. And what you're doing is you're just fueling up the furnace of your soul for the fire of God's Spirit to burn. And you're sensitizing yourself to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then, part and parcel usually of meditate. So you read God's Word, you meditate on God's Word, and then it's hard for me to meditate on God's Word without praying God's Word. Praying God's Word. It's an expression I never heard growing up, actually. I heard preaching God's Word, I heard reading God's Word, I heard listening to God's Word. I saw somewhere, rarely did I hear about meditating on God's Word, and never did I hear about praying God's Word, but it's a powerful spiritual discipline. I kind of heard about and grew into later in my life. That's where you take a verse and you turn it into a prayer. You take the content of that verse and you pray it back to God. Now, it's easy in the Psalms because some verses are prayers, right? So you've got to read it word for word, and it already is a prayer. And you're just making it your prayer. I love when we can give the language of God's own word to our hearts back to God. This is powerful praying. I think Pastor Mike, a Sunday or two ago, you preached on praying God's Word. You can listen to that on the podcast. It's a potent spiritual discipline. I was really encouraged once. I was reading a story about George Mueller, who in the 1800s in England was this unbelievable man of faith. And he ran orphanages, and he'd tell people what he was doing, but he'd never ask for money. And God would just provide for him. I mean, he had mountain-moving faith. I mean, stuff like, there's no food in the house, but he put all of his children in the orphanage around the table, and in faith, they pray a blessing over the food that wasn't there yet. And then as soon as they're done praying, they hear a knock at the door, and there's all the food they need. You know, so that's like beyond Jim Bradford League faith, I'm afraid. You know, I mean, that's just out there. You know. So this guy's intimidating, right? So I can't tell you how much delight it brought to my heart to find out that he used to have his prayer time from 7 to 8 in the morning, just before breakfast. And he said, I start praying at 7, and sometimes my mind would wander for a half hour, 45 minutes. I go, even the man of faith. He said, until I learned to pray the scriptures. And he said, at 7 o'clock, I'd start with a chapter. And I wouldn't just read verse by verse. I'd turn every verse into a prayer back to God. And he said, it was like it arrested my attention. It focused my mind right from the beginning. And what? God's Spirit and His Word always work together. And the life of the Spirit and faith kindled in my heart as I started with God's Word. This is powerful. Now, on the back of your notes, I took some verses out of a Bible app I have on my phone. I have some, in this Bible app, I have a bookmark section. I can pull up just all my bookmark verses. Some of these are life verses. Some of these are promises I'm standing on for some areas of my life and things, my family. But what I did was I pulled out a few of the verses I feel God's given me for Central Assembly. And there they are. And then I left a blank space at the bottom for you to add verses of your own in if you'd like. Because I just believe God may be giving you, and I want to call you this morning to another level of prayer engagement as a whole church family for our church. As you know, we're between pastors. We have a search. Our search committee, I'm not on it, but our search committee's been considering names from Springfield to the ends of the earth, I think. It's definitely a national search for who is God going to call to be our next pastor. We are at a very critical moment in that process. We're at the narrowing down phase now. Even in the next month, in March and April, the phase of beginning to actually talk to people about this opportunity and what God might be saying to them. And I just sense, thank you for doing the survey, by the way, last week and through the week online this week. And if you brought your hard copy surveys, you can leave them at the information table. We've just done the survey work, and I haven't been able to get away from a sense that we need to engage in prayer this pastoral search process in intercession for our church in a new level. And so Monday through Saturday, I'm going to be asking you to make a commitment to pray. But first of all, I just want you to look at these verses that I feel God's, that I pray. You don't need to pray them, but these are what this is a for instance. In this first verse, Psalm 115, I prayed it a lot the last number of weeks. My heart just moves every time I pray. Oh God, would you cause this place to flourish? And not only us as adults, but our children in this very multi-generational congregation. Cause us to flourish, and may the blessing of the Lord be upon this place. And then two out of Psalm 68. Summon your power, O God. When I pray this back to God, I just feel an urgency. I just feel a yearning in my spirit. Oh God, would you summon your power and show us your strength as you have done before. And you, God, verse 35, are awesome in your sanctuary. Lord, as we gather to worship, would something of the manifest presence of God come upon us? Would something of the awesomeness of God be revealed among us? For God, you're the God who gives power and strength to your people. We just sung it this morning. You're a good, good Father. That means you give power and strength to your people. And then the last verse, which I've been praying, is a favorite leadership verse of mine. And it's praying, God, would you send us a shepherd? Would you send us a leader? Would you send us a senior pastor who has the right heart, who has integrity of heart, and at the same time, not only a heart for you and a heart for people and a heart of integrity, but also with the skill of hand as a leader that it will take to move a congregation like this into its future. The right heart and the right skill. Lord, bring that kind of pastor, okay? So you get the idea, right? Now, I've got room for you to write your own prayers, your own scriptures, I mean. I want to encourage you to pray God's word. It's not the only way we'll pray for our church, but I do want to encourage you to pray God's word. And then I'd like you to take this green card out of your bulletin that you received when you came in today. There's a green card in here, and it says, Together in prayer. And then you'll notice the four verses. I didn't know the people who, I've been out of town most of the last 2 weeks, so whoever put this card together did a beautiful job, and they stole my four verses, so you're stuck with them. There's the four verses I just read through that can be part of our praying for our congregation. And then that big check mark, as we trust God's guidance for our next pastor, I commit to join with my church family and be in prayer together. I just feel we're supposed to engage the intercessory life of our congregation together at a new level for the next few months at this critical time. And let's pray God's word. Let's pray God's promises. Let's stand on God's promises. And let's pray with faith. So underneath, you'll see a tear-off section. You can actually fold it, and it's perforated. You can tear it off. This bottom section has Monday through Saturday. And I'd like to invite you to check one of those. Well, first of all, why is Sunday not on there? Because we are together, and every Sunday morning and every Sunday night when we're together, we're interceding. As many of your classes are praying every Sunday for a new pastor. But this is to pray together when we're not physically together. This is Monday through Saturday. You say, well, I pray every day for our church. I'm praying every day for our new pastor. Well, thank God. Don't stop that. But I'm asking you maybe to take one day a week and go to the next level. Maybe that day, it's not a commitment necessarily to fast, but maybe that day you'd want to fast noon hour or something. Or you just want to spend extended time just praying. Or you want, that day is like your only prayer request that day. Lord, guide us to a new pastor. There's one day you're going to emphasize praying, even though I hope you're praying every day for our pastor. But you're just going to do that. And you'll take it out and you'll just mark it. You know, I've chosen Wednesday. So do it. And then on that line underneath, you can put your name. And what we're going to do on that back wall back there in the lobby, we're going to put Monday through Saturday, and we're going to pin these up. And so next week, you're going to see all the people praying Monday, all the people praying Tuesday. And we're just as a visual to remind us that we're together in prayer. We're doing this together. Okay? Now, what I'm going to ask you to do in about 1 minute is to stand. And we're going to be led in worship. Pastor Chad's going to lead us in worship. And I'd like you to come and present this prayer commitment. You can see there's cards up here. It's not that the custodians didn't clean the sanctuary this week. And that's from first service. And I want you to add to the commitments at first service. And if you're willing to really say, one day a week, I'm really going to be interceding for this search process and where we're going as a church. I'm going to pray these scriptures. I'm going to pray scriptures God gives me personally. I'm going to stand on promises, bring them up. And I'm just going to invite you to come and leave it. If you'd like to linger here and kneel and pray, you can. If you just want to go back to your seat, you can. Because after we bring the cards up, then I'll invite our prayer partners to come up. And if you want prayer before we go, you can do that as well. Good. Amen. Amen. Let's get the fuel in our hearts. And let's keep reading the Word. Let's keep meditating on the Word. And let's keep praying the Word, even for our church. Stand together. Pastor Chad, worship. Lead us in worship, if you would. Bring your card up as you'd like.